morning, everybody. How y'all doing this morning? Awesome. Well, you guys are a little more lively than last service. Good job. We've had our coffee. We've slept. Excited to share with you this morning. And we are in a series, as you just saw, called Awakened to His Voice. And what we need to know is this. God is speaking. And we are designed to hear His voice. Even Jesus says this Himself. He says, "My sheep will hear My voice," but He doesn't stop there. "And I know them and they follow Me." See, it's not just that we hear Him, but it's that we respond to trust Him and to be formed by what He says. See, awakening, to be awakened is not to strive harder or even just getting everything in your life figured out. What we're discovering is to be awakened is to start to become aware of His voice, of His presence. You know that God is working all over the place, all around you all the time. So we're learning to become aware of Him. And then we're learning to adore Him, or we could say worship Him in every single circumstance. That's not always easy, but we're learning to do that so that we can be activated in who we were made to be. God's ultimate goal for your life is to activate you into who He made you to be. This is what it means to be awakened. Last week, Julie walked us through a great, powerful message in the life of Abraham. Abraham teaches us a lot, and he shows us what it means to be awakened to God's voice through obedience and trust. If you look at Abraham's life, he hears God, he leaves what's familiar, and then he learns over time to be totally dependent on the Lord, even when the promise doesn't come right away, or it's even costly. So today we're gonna continue in that family line of Abraham, and we're gonna look at his grandson, Jacob. If Abraham shows us what it looks like to obey God's voice, Jacob shows us what it looks like to wrestle with God in the middle of the promise. Yes, you heard that word right, wrestle. Have you ever been in a season of tension? Maybe you're in that right now, where there's just uncertainty about your future. Maybe it is about something concrete like your job. Maybe it's a pressure situation where you're not really sure about your current life stage or circumstance. And maybe you've asked the Lord, Lord, could you just fix this? It's not that you're doubting God or even doubting His faithfulness. You're tired of the wrestle. The wrestle is exhausting and you just want relief. I think for many of us, this is the uncomfortable reality of becoming awakened. And today we're gonna look at a moment of huge tension in Jacob's life where God doesn't do what you expect Him to do. See, awakening doesn't always come through clarity about what's next. It comes through an encounter with God right where you are. I'm just gonna pray and invite the Holy Spirit. Actually, this is kind of strange, but would you all stand? I want you to just put your hands out. Holy Spirit, I just felt like we were supposed to wake up a little bit to receive from You. And so, Lord, we just invite You to move in this room, to fill our hands and our hearts. Would You open our ears right now to hear Your voice? And I just silence every distraction that's going on. Lord, we want to hone into Your presence right now. Jesus, You are the one that we are trying to listen to. So we bless You and invite You to teach us today, to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can have a seat. Now, I remember several years ago being in a season where my calling, the thing that I was made to do, felt less clear than it ever had. It wasn't that I was like doubting God or questioning that he was faithful. I was just wrestling. And I had all these questions that started to come up. Like, is this really what I'm made to do? Is this season over? Am I just supposed to move on? Now, this comes to a really disturbing time in our culture called COVID. Anybody remember that? Like, oh, he said it. You know, people were leaving their jobs like left and right. In culture, they were calling it the Great Resignation because everybody was resigning, right? And honestly, that language resonated with me way more than I wanted it to. And for several years, it felt like what had once made sense no longer fit the same way. And what was weird is I could see God moving, I could feel him moving, I could see what was happening, but I just wasn't sure how I fit in to what he was doing. And the tension was exhausting. And to be honest, I just wanted God to rescue me out of it. And during this season, we had this guest worship leader come to lead here on a Sunday. And in between services, she did something really special. She started to encourage and pray and prophesy over the team backstage. Now, that just means to share God's heart. Like you hear something from God and you share his heart with them. And when she came to me, she started to speak over this transition I was in. And she's like, hey, I see you on this mountain road. See, many times when we're awakened to God's voice, we start to see pictures or we get these feelings as this knowing. And in this instance, she was seeing this kind of little movie reel. She's like, I see you on this mountain road. And it's one of those places where you pull over in an overlook and God pulls you out of the car and says, look. And she said, you know, you're expecting to see what you always saw, you know, trees, nothing new, just something familiar. But instead of seeing the 300 acres that you're used to seeing, God shows you thousands and thousands of acres as far as the eye could see. And then he said, this is all yours now. And I like listened to this word and in this weird way, it like resonated with me. But I also like, this sounds impossible, right? See, at the time I didn't know even what to do with this picture. Like I believed it, but I didn't know how to stand in it. And here's what's interesting about the word. The word didn't remove the wrestle I was in. If anything, it deepened it. Because now I wasn't just wrestling with uncertainty, I was wrestling with a promise I didn't know if I was even ready for. And it wasn't until 4 years later, 4 years does feel like a long time when you're in it, when I stepped into the role as director of School of Kingdom Ministry, that I began to feel the weight of that word, because suddenly that word wasn't poetic, it was reality. The scope was larger, the responsibility was real, the leadership gap, it was undeniable. And I started to have this question, and it wasn't like, is God faithful? It was more like, do I actually have what it takes to carry what he's asking of me? See, I learned something in this process. Stepping into the promise doesn't automatically remove the wrestle. Sometimes it reveals it. Think about your life for a moment right now. Maybe you're in a tension right now. Maybe you have a bunch of unknown. You're carrying a weight that you're not sure what to do with. It could be in a relationship. It could be with your job. It could be with your life calling. And maybe you're just saying, God, rescue me. Get me out of here. See, I think Jacob's story has a lot of insight for us today. And so we're going to jump in to his wrestle. Now, we're going to look at Genesis 32, and I'm going to give you a bit of context so you understand where we are. If you're reading with a one-year Bible, hopefully many of you are. If you're not, you still can. You can join us. And this reading was on Friday. And here's what you need to know about Jacob. Jacob is one of the central figures of the story of God's people. You'll often hear this phrase, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Jacob is the one we're talking about here. And what's cool about Jacob is that family line leads all the way to the birth of Jesus. It's the same family line. It's pretty amazing. But Jacob, he didn't really start out as a spiritual hero. If you look at his life, it was marked by striving and self-protection. And even his name reflects that. Jacob, the name Jacob means grabber, someone who gets ahead by grabbing or deceiving. And, you know, he was born this way, born grabbing on to his twin brother Esau's heel as he was born. How about coming out of the womb like that? Be interesting. He tricks his brother out of his birthright. He deceives his father and grabs his brother's blessing, right? So Jacob's whole life was spent managing outcomes, controlling situations, trying to secure these blessings on his own terms. And he just spent years running and running from all these mistakes, all these consequences. And here's what's key though. This is really important. God still chooses him. God still chooses him. You might have forgotten. You might think, hey, you know, my life, if you look at my life right, God would never use me. That's not true. You hear that? That's not true. God will still choose you. God speaks all these promises over Jacob's life, similar to Abraham. He's going to bless you with so many descendants, and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. All of those promises are still there, but Jacob is still fighting to do it on his own. So by the time we get to Genesis 32, Jacob is returning home after years away, and he's trying to get to this promised land, and standing in between him and that promised land is his brother Esau, the one he deceived, the one he wronged. So right in front of him is promises, but also his past mistakes. And he does what many of us do when the pressure starts to build. He tries to control it. Now, before we read this passage, I want to give a little overview of when we read stories in the Old Testament. This story in particular is very often misunderstood. It's very confusing to many people. So we have to know this, that the Bible tells one big story, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the whole story of the Bible comes into a pinnacle in Jesus. It all points to Jesus, right? So when we read the Old Testament, we often say that we need to put on our sunglasses, our S-O-N glasses. Now, I tried to get AI to kind of depict what this would look like, and this is kind of what it came up with. This is not exactly what I was hoping for. Then it went to the next one, and those were a little better. I was like, I want a pair of sunglasses like that. Our sunglasses, why am I saying that? See, the scriptures say, if we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. That's John 14, 9. He is the visible image of the invisible God. And so when we're reading about God, the Father, especially in the Old Testament, we need to ask him to put on the sunglasses. Holy Spirit, let me see through the lens of Jesus and what he has done and who he reveals God to be. So I want you to put your hands on your eyes. Jesus, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to let us see through the lens of Jesus, through your lens. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read. People are like, what story is this? He set this up. Genesis 32. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, two servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Please tell me your name, Jacob said. Why do you want to know my name? The man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel. And he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. Very interesting story. So what do you do when all you want is for God to defeat your enemies, get rid of your fear, give you some clarity, but instead, he wrestles with you? How about that? Let's break this down so we understand, because God is initiating something very intentional with Jacob here that we can learn from. So Jacob separates himself from everything he has, his family, his servants, all his possessions, everything, all he's putting distance between everything and what he fears, right? What's in front of him. And everything he's gained through grabbing, manipulation, and control that he's relied on is now across the river. And it says that this left Jacob all alone. This is the first time in Jacob's story that he's not grabbing anything. Man, we like to grab at things, don't we? Anybody ever feel that way? I'm just gonna take that and grab it, right? He's not grabbing at anything. He's alone. In many ways, this is kind of what fasting looks like, or when we abstain from things. See, Jacob is removing the things that bring him worth and value, that is giving him significance. And without even really knowing what he was doing, he's putting himself in a place where he can encounter God. See, this is often the very first step we need to do when being awakened. It's when we remove what we rely on so we can discover who we rely on. When's the last time we were intentional about that? I want to be real. You're at church, so you're being intentional. You're being intentional right now. When's the last time at home that you started to remove things from your life? Remove the need for possessions, your self-reliance, and created space for God. So it says, this left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. Well, this is interesting. Who is this man? Well, Jacob himself says, I have seen God face to face, and my life was spared. So he believes it was God. Hosea talks about this account and says this man wrestled with an angel, right? Jacob wrestled with an angel. But what we need to know is that this is a divine representative of God. In other words, God meets Jacob in the form of a man and wrestles with him. See, sometimes when we're in tension, when we feel uncertain about our future, or maybe when our past starts to feel really close, maybe it feels so close, your past life feels so close, it feels like the present. Anyone ever feel like that? Like, I thought I was done with that. Many times in those places, God creates space in our lives not to punish us, but to form us, to wrestle with us. And what I've found in these places of tension, it's what God uses to get us ready for the future, not keep us from it. And as much as I don't like this, I mean, I actually don't like this part. I'll just be real. It is crucial formation time. And it's not just so we get stronger, it's so we stop relying on ourselves. See, there's a reason God doesn't always rescue us from the wrestle. Let me give you an illustration. Many of us know about a caterpillar. When they're about to become a butterfly, they build this cocoon, right? And in that cocoon, they completely transform. And once it transforms, it has to struggle to get out of the cocoon. But here's what's fascinating about this process. If you try to speed up that process, if you try to help the butterfly, help a butterfly out, right? You actually seal its doom because the butterfly doesn't survive. It's because it never developed the strength it needs to fly. See, the struggle isn't a flaw in the process. It's the very thing that strengthens it to do what it was made to do. Yeah. See, awakening isn't the absence of wrestle. It's God forming us through it. And see, some things can only come through resistance. I want you to think about a tension that you're in right now. I know there's some tension in this room. There's relationships, there's jobs, there's future. You're in it. Maybe you've forgotten about it and you're like, why are you reminding me, Daniel? Let me just give you a question I often ask myself. Am I asking God to rescue me from this tension or to form me through it? You know, a lot of our prayers, they sound like, God, get me out of this. God, fix this. God, would you just make this easier? I mean, I've prayed these prayers, guys, okay? God is not offended by those prayers, let me tell you. But sometimes his answer isn't rescue, it's wrestle. Again, I want to put on my sunglasses again. I'm not saying that God is causing the pain, because he isn't. God is not causing the strain. Sometimes we're walking in the consequences of our own actions. I said it. This is what Jacob is doing. He's walking out the consequences of his own actions. But just because God doesn't cause it, it doesn't mean he doesn't want to meet you in it. Does that make sense? He meets us in the wrestle because it forms us for what's coming. Sometimes we're asking God to remove the very thing that's awakening us for the future. Because there's something happens in the wrestle. So what happens? Verse 25. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And I always found this part of the story so fascinating. Why would God wrench Jacob's hip out of its socket? This is very confusing for a lot of people. So confusing that I want to put back on my sunglasses and be really clear what this passage is not saying. See, this is not teaching that God hurts us in order to help us. Okay? It's not saying that God causes pain, sickness, or suffering to teach us a lesson or to break our self-reliance. Do you hear that? Yeah. Why do I know that? Because if I've seen Jesus, I've seen who? The Father. If I've seen Jesus, I've seen the Father. And Jesus never wounded people to make them holy. Right? He healed them. I just read a bunch of accounts in Matthew today. He healed all who were sick and oppressed to the devil. He healed all who were sick and oppressed to the devil. This is Jesus' heart. So what's happening right here? Well, what's happening is this is symbolic prophetic act. That God is meeting Jacob in a language that he understands. So it's specific to him, not prescriptive for us. See, Jacob has spent his whole entire life relying on himself, his own strength, his cleverness, his ability. And in the moment, this moment, God is revealing something to him. You cannot move forward the same way you've always moved. Something's got to change. So can we learn from this then? If it's so specific to him, can we learn anything? Well, yes, we can. It's the living word. That's what I love about the word. It's alive. It can teach us. And what it centers around is the symbolism of the hip. I don't know about you, but I have not thought much about my hips. Anybody else? Maybe some of you are thinking about your hips. I don't think about that very much. But as I did a little research, I realized the hip's major function in our body is to carry its weight for standing, walking, and even running. And the major function is for stability and endurance. See, when God is awakening us, he often touches the deepest places of our self-reliance in our lives. You know, maybe it's you're trying to do everything by yourself and you never ask for help. Or maybe you're so concerned about what others think about you that you spend everything to please them. Or maybe it's this, that I'm doing these certain activities in my life so I don't feel the pain going on over here. See, God doesn't touch these places to shame us. He does it to transform us. And up until this point, Jacob has just relied on himself, his cleverness. And this is what God is saying. Your time of self-reliance is over. See, he's forming dependence, not weakness. Okay, I have to stop right here. Is anybody dealing with hip pain? Does anybody have hip pain right now? Is anybody in here? Would you be right over here? Right now, I just sense the Lord, the warmth of God's like presence is coming on. Anybody who has hip pain, and you're just gonna start to feel a warmth right now, and I'm just gonna check in a little bit later to see what he does. So I just bless what you're doing right now. I'm just being interrupted by the Lord. In Jesus' name, right now, well, she's standing for that. Okay, we bless that, Lord. Anyone with hip pain, even listening online, even listening later, right now, if you have hip pain, the Lord's warmth is gonna come and heal that. In Jesus' name, we bless it, Lord. We bless it, Lord. Amen. I'm gonna check in on that a little later. See, God is giving him a sign. That was like a little commercial from Jesus, and now I'm going back. Okay. God is giving him a sign that says, hey, your stability, your endurance, your ability to carry the weight can only come through dependence on me. Now that'll preach, right? That makes sense to me. And then Jacob does something pretty crucial here. He says, the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. See, wrestling with God is not fighting against him. It's refusing to let him go. I'm gonna say that again. Wrestling with God is not fighting against him. It's refusing to let him go. See, Jacob is no longer grabbing for control. He's clinging to the one he needs the most. This is what awakening often looks like. God is touching the places we trust the most, not to shame us, but just to change how we walk forward. Early on in my walk with Jesus, I just tried to do a lot of things on my own. And my two friends who led me to Jesus, they just kept trying to help me and help me, and I just kept trying to push them away. And one day we had this really big falling out. And it was kind of one of those friendship ending falling out, and I was left alone. I was actually living in Germany, so I was really all alone. And I wrestled and wrestled with God. Lord God, how could you let this happen? What's going on? What am I gonna do now? And he was like, you know, you're pushing away the people that I put in your life to help you. You need to humble yourself. You need to apologize to them and ask for their help. See, I wonder how many of us are in this place where we've relied on ourselves, we're trying to make these things happen, and we've let go of God too soon. We've given up. Maybe there's a promise over your life, and you're like, God, I don't see this happening, so I just give up. Or maybe there's a prophetic word. You know, sometimes people speak things over our life. You were made to do this or that, but you haven't seen it pass, and so you're just like, I just don't think that can happen. Or maybe you think you made too many mistakes and it's just too late for that. I know I've had those thoughts. See, we can learn from Jacob here. Don't let go. He goes, I will not let go until you bless me. You know, one thing I've loved about raising my kids that they all have these different personalities, but my third born, Malachi, he's what I would call tenacious. And he kind of, you know, his older brothers, you know, with a third born, you kind of have to fight for everything, right? And his older brothers, they never let him get by with anything. They don't let him win at basketball. They don't let him win at anything. And he loves it. He just kind of presses in and fights for it. I love that about him. One time we were at this health convention and they were doing this planking competition. And for 8-year-olds, the record was 5 minutes and 9 seconds, which is a long time. And he was like, oh, I can beat that. And he gets on the plank and he goes, I'm gonna go for 6 minutes just in case someone tries to beat me. You know, you can see a picture of it right there. You know, when I asked him, hey, can I share this story about you? And he goes, oh, can I get up on the stage and plank for everybody? And I'm like, maybe not this time. See, there is a tenacity in our relationship with God. Did you know that? Even Jesus says, keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. See, in the wrestle, something comes alive in Jacob that wasn't there before. He realizes the answer to his future is not in his own abilities, but in his connection to God. I will not let go unless you bless me. But something super important happens in the blessing. He says, what is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Well, your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. For now on, you will be called Israel because you have fought with God and with men and have won. See, Jacob cannot continue in his calling relying on the person that he once was. See, he must become who he was always made to be, Israel. He renames him. This is really, really key. Israel means one who struggles with God. Or a better definition might be God prevails in him. It doesn't mean he was fighting against God. It means he gets transformed through encounter with God. See, Israel is who Jacob becomes when he stops striving as Jacob and allows God to prevail in him. Where do you need God to prevail in you? See, Jacob didn't win because he overpowered God. He winned because he clung to him. He didn't give up. See, this moment has really marked me because names are very important. You know, in Scripture, a name isn't just what people call you. It's how you understand yourself. It's how you understand who you are. Some of you may know this, but I think most don't, that my first name is actually Robert. People are like, what? Growing up, I actually went by Robert, even into college. And before I knew Jesus, I was in this season of doing a lot of auditions and performing and things. I got a degree in music, so I was doing a lot of that. And several people had encouraged me to change my name to my middle name, to start going by my middle name. And if those of you older in the crowd, you might know that there is a famous Robert Goulet out there. And so one person said, you know, if you want to step into what's next, you need to set yourself apart from the guy that everybody knows. Huh. I was like, oh, there's a little bit of prophetic in there. But at the time I didn't know God, but I did change my name. And what I didn't know was that the name Robert means bright fame. But the name Daniel means God is my judge. I changed my name, and about 8 months later, my life radically changed when I met God is my judge, when I met Jesus. And man, I used to struggle with what people thought of me. I used to handle criticism so personally. Like when you do auditions and they're like, yeah, we don't like you, out, you know, it can be really hard. It kind of ruins your day. But as soon as I changed my name, as soon as God became my judge, those opinions didn't seem to matter as much. It was like he got the final word over my life. See, it was like I started to live toward who I was made to be, Daniel, and I started to become that person. See, this is what God is trying to give a heads up. We cannot live our old life. We cannot live in the way that we used to live. We have to live in the way God calls us, right? See, awakening isn't just about hearing God's voice. It's about letting his voice define who we are becoming. What does God say about you? What is he saying over your life? It could be your physical name. It could be another name. What is God saying about you? Here's my challenge to you. If there's one thing that we could take away, don't rush past the place where God is trying to meet with you. See, I wonder if some of us, the very thing that we're trying to escape is the place that God is trying to meet. Trying to meet with you, trying to form you, trying to show you, hey, here's who you are becoming. I want you all to stand as we move into worship. We're gonna take a moment and fix our attention on the one that this is all about, Jesus Christ. He's the one that before you were even formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew you. And you might be in a tension right now and wrestle a lot of unknown. And sometimes we just like to rush past those places. But the Lord is saying, no, no, no. I know exactly why you're here on earth. I know exactly what I've made you for. And I want to meet you in this place. Would you just put your hands out? Lord, right now, we want to meet with you, Jesus. Lord, would you start to speak to our hearts? Who you called us? What is the name that you say? Where are you leading us toward, Lord? And God, just like our open hands are maybe holding on to things that we shouldn't be holding on to anymore, we're clinging to possessions, we're clinging to an old life. Right now, I thank you that these open hands represent things that you can take out of them. You can take these things out of our hands and put yourself instead. If that resonates with you, just say, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. God, as we worship you, as we put our affection and our attention to you, I thank you, Lord, that you are the deliverer. You are the one that brings freedom. And we say yes to that. In Jesus' name, amen.